So, what is action and what is inaction? I will explain in the next words. He's not talking about good and bad actions yet. All he's saying is what is action and what is inaction. So, he'll talk about that in the verse number 16. So, he's starting a new section called karma in the fourth chapter. Kim karma kim karmeti. Kavayopyatra mohitaha.
Kavayopyatra mohitaha.
Tatte karma pravakshyami.
Tatte karma pravakshyami.
Yajnyatva mokshyase shubhat.
Yajnyatva mokshyase shubhat.
So, kim karma? Kim karma means what is action? And then the next one, it is a sandhi, kim akarma. So, kim karma, kim akarma. So, what is action and what is inaction? That topic is a very complex. It's not simple. It's not as simple as you think. Even kavihi, kavihi, of course, in the modern language, in Hindi and all, I think even in Gujarati and all, kavi we think is a poet. But kavi, when it is used in the Vedanta, in our scriptures, kavi means the wise sages, enlightened wise masters. Kavi, even the kavis, even the wise people, api atra mohitaha, they get atra here, even the wise people get deluded. And that tat te karma, te to you, that karma, tat karma, pravakshyami. Now, Bhagavan doesn't say vakshyami. Vakshyami, it's in future tense. I think Swamiji was here. He was teaching Sanskrit. So, he talked about past, present and future. So, pravakshyami. So, vakshyami means I shall tell you. So, Bhagavan is like any other good speaker. You know, when he starts a topic, he'll say, first he will introduce, this is what I will tell you. Then he tells it and then at the end he says, tasmat. He summarizes. Same thing in the Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter, he says, what am I going to tell you? Then 3rd to 17th, he tells. And in the 18th, he summarizes. So here he says, pravakshyami. Vakshyami means I shall tell you. Pra, when it comes, it is prakarshena vakshyami. Means I'll tell you very clearly. I'll tell you completely. There will be no doubt. I will not leave any doubt. So prakarshena means the best. So, I will tell you in the best way possible so that you understand clearly and there will be no doubts. And yet, jnatva, and knowing this, jnatva, having known this, moksha se ashubhat. Ashubhat means inauspiciousness. Moksha se means you shall be freed from inauspiciousness. So, what is this inauspiciousness? And what is this moksha? We'll talk about what is karma and akarma. So he said, I'll tell you action and inaction. He said, Bhagavan, what do you mean it is difficult? It confuses people. If I'm sitting here, not doing anything is inaction. When I get around and start walking, it is action. So what is to be confused? If I'm sitting, that is inaction. If I'm walking, it is action. It's very simple. What do you mean sages got deluded? You mean they didn't know that what is means to walk and to sit is different? No, Bhagavan says it is not that simple as you and I think. That if I'm sitting, I'm not doing anything. If I'm walking, if I'm cooking, I'm doing something. But if I'm sitting and thinking, I'm not doing. It's not like that. It is very, very interesting topic. Very topic that needs some thinking. That's why he says, Kavi, even the sages, when they started on the spiritual path and they went to their guru, they also were confused. Of course, once they had understood, once they became enlightened masters, then they were not. So you and I are at this moment studying from the Lord. So we are confused as to what is the difference between action and inaction. Doing and not doing is not as simple as we think. And he says that even wise people sometimes get confused as to what is to do and what is action and what is inaction. I was listening to Swami Bodhatmananda Ji's commentary, and he gave a beautiful story about Isaac Newton. He says Isaac Newton, as you know, was a great scientist, discovered the law of gravity and a lot of other, you know, things he had done. So he had two cats, a mother cat and a baby cat. The baby was very tiny, mother was big. And so in the morning he would be working on his experiments, and they would be scratching on the door, and he would have to get up and open the door, and the cats would come in to eat. Then after a while he would close the door, then again they would start scratching because they wanted to go out. And so they would be in and out. Every time he has to get up and open the door, let them in, open the door, let them out. And he would disturb him. So he said, let me make two holes. One big hole for the mother cat and a little hole for the baby cat. So he spent a lot of time, made two holes. He said, now they will, each one will have their own hole. No, they both went through the big hole. The little cat didn't know that this is the hole for me. She saw this big hole, mother is... So what he should do, he should have just made one hole. So even wise people sometimes get deluded as to what is action and what is inaction. And Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda Ji says, the action being the same, it is the motive that is more important than the action. So like he says, like a fruit. Now the fruit outside, it may look very nice, an apple looks red and juicy, and you cut it and inside it is black because, you know, it is rotten, you know, they say rotten to the core. So outwardly the apple or the mango or the fruit may look very nice, but inside it may look horrible because there are, you know, it is kide padge, like they say, it is, you know, become black. So similarly, outwardly, you know, everybody behaves very nicely, but what is more important is with what motive am I doing this action? What is my, even if I'm helping somebody, am I doing it because I genuinely want to help, or am I doing it to humiliate this person? That's why even, you know, they say that in dhanam is of three kinds. Sattvic is where I genuinely want to help the person. Rajasic dan is where I want to show off, you know, I'm such a great dani and maybe I can win the election next time, so I'm doing service. And tamasic dan is where I give something to insult or humiliate and make that person feel inferior. And look, you are a nobody, but I am giving you this. So the same action, you're giving money to somebody, can become sattvic, rajasic or tamasic depending on the motive. So the motive is more important than the action. What is the thought behind my action? That is what makes an action auspicious or inauspicious. That's why Bhagavan says, moksha se ashubhat, frees you from inauspiciousness. And what is an inauspicious action and what is an auspicious action? Just as an auspicious activity is where I am remembering God and I am doing it with the right attitude, so any action that pleases God and pleases God within me is an auspicious action. And anything that makes me feel not so good, you know, I didn't do good, I should not have done that, this was wrong, or any action that binds me, where I become dependent on, so any action that gets me dependent or makes me feel bad or makes me feel unhappy or makes others unhappy because of my action, if I make somebody else unhappy, that is an inauspicious action. So, and such actions bind us. Actions that are done selfishly for I and my, that's why he says, nama karma phale spriha. I don't have desire for the fruit, I just do it because it's to be done. So you and I, when we are working in the world, we should not work for what can I get out of it, what is in it for me, but how can I give to the world. And they say that this message of the Bhagavad Gita should not become a bumper sticker. You know, by doing this, moksha se ashubhat, I should not. And we find people, you know, walking around with bumper stickers. Jesus loves everybody, love everybody. And But do they actually bring it into their life? That is more important. Life is not bumper stickers. You don't put it, or you put up inside your car or in the house. They have all these beautiful, you know, sayings. You have these 10 laws or whatever, 12 laws, or, you know, all these 12-step guide to this and that. They should not only be on the wall, only be on the bumper stickers, but should actually change my life. My life should improve as a result of studying the Bhagavad Gita. If my life is not changing, if I am not improving, then the study is useless. So whatever I study, I first have to think about it, make my mind ready for the knowledge, then go home and contemplate upon this knowledge, churn this knowledge in the mind, and then third one is nididhyasana, bring it into my life. So that is the purpose of studying. And whatever scriptures, whatever, you know, we are listening to the Swamijis and all the teachers, the idea is to change our life. That's why Guruji says, a very famous statement, if you keep on doing what you have been doing, you will keep on getting what you have been getting. So if you keep doing the same thing, you will get the same result. Then there is no need to complain. If you want a different result in your life, if you want your life to get better, change what you are doing. Do not keep repeating. So today just we studied, first of all, that the Lord says He Himself is not affected by actions, does not work for a particular goal. That is how we have to work. And then alone, you will be free from the bondage of karma. Once you know that. And then Sri Krishna gave us the example of great sages and great masters like Janak Maharaj, Ikshvaku, and a lot of other people, even though they were kings, how they were able to realize the truth. And so he says, you should also work with that attitude. Janak Maharaj was totally unattached. So also these great masters. So live your life in that way and be a mumukshu. Be a seeker of liberation. Do not be just a seeker of the world. You know, I want more in the world. Once you have reached a certain level, santushta satatam yogi. A wise person is always content. So be content. Work your best. Then be content inward. And work for the lok sangraha, for the betterment of society. And then Bhagavan has started a new topic. What is karma and what is akarma? He has not yet talked about good and bad karmas. That he will talk later on. What is action and what is inaction? What is doing and not doing? We'll talk more about that next week with some stories and examples of that. Action, inaction, and forbidden action. So karma, akarma, and vikarma. So these are the three. So we'll talk in more detail. Today we just introduced the subject. So we have about 15 minutes. If there's any questions, any comments.
Yeah, go ahead. I have a question about Janak Maharaj. You say that he was detached and he was living in a kingdom, but then he was also following his duties. He lived with his family, his wives.
Right.
And you say that he was realized. Now, how did he reach that point, being in the kingdom,
right,
working, having a normal lifestyle with his children and his wives, and still reaching liberation?
Right. I think because of his guru, Ashtavakra. See, Ashtavakra was a realized master. Ashtavakra, actually, I've told his story before, but he actually had 8 bends in his body. He was so crooked. He used to walk like that. He was hunchbacked and all. A realized sage. So Janak Maharaj sat at his feet and learned. And then brought it into his actions. So even though he was living with his wife and children and taking care of his kingdom, inside he knew, I am that Brahman. If Ashtavakra Gita is available in the office, that book, if you want to buy. And there he says, after having learned from the guru, he says, I understand that from Brahmaji to the blade of grass, they're all in me. Now, Janak Maharaj was maybe 6 feet tall. How can he say that from Brahmaji to the blade of grass, they're all in me? Why? Because I am Brahman. I am that consciousness. He knew that. And so in that consciousness is this whole universe. All the 14 worlds are in me. See, so the understanding should be that they are happening in me, not me as Anil or me as Satish, but me as that consciousness. So that understanding, when it comes, then you can function in the world. Gurudev worked so hard throughout his life, building centers, traveling, you know, all these. Shankaracharya ji, in the span of 32 years, how much he accomplished. Changed the whole face of India, you know, in those days when it was, travel was so hard. So these people continue to do their duties, but inside they know I am Brahman. So then he could continue to rule his kingdom. There's a story which I've told before, how he, when he had gone to his guru, there was a sadhu who was with him, and he was sitting with Ashtavakra outside the kingdom in the hut, and suddenly the soldiers came and said, you know, your treasury is on fire, the palace is on fire. I've told this story before. And so Janak Maharaj says, palace is on fire? He said, yeah. He said, everything is burning. So he said, but are there firemen who are taking care? Yes, we have called them. He said, okay, then go ahead and take care. I'm talking to my guru. Mm-hmm. So he was sitting there. Yeah, I'm not going. But that sadhu, he ran. So they said, why are you running? He said, I have that, my begging bowl will get burnt. So he was attached to his begging bowl, the sadhu, and Janak Maharaj was not affected. He said, okay, the palace is burning, what can I do? I cannot go and put out the, I'm talking to my guru. That is more important. And the people are taking care. Those who are firemen have been assigned. So by my running there, what am I going to accomplish? So those were the instances where you could see that he was beyond personal possessions. If it is there, it's fine. If it's not there, it's okay. We'll rebuild it. So that's the example. I think the story I have told before, but it's worth repeating because it's the mental attitude. While the sadhu was supposed to have given up the world, he was running to save his begging bowl and the spare clothes, little bag he had. He said, oh, that will get burnt in the fire. Let me go save it. So attachment is not to objects. It's in the mind. Attachment is in the mind. Are you dependent on objects for your happiness? That is attachment. Having or not having objects is not detachment. It is the ability to be fine whether I have the object or I don't have the object. That is attachment or detachment. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does.
Thank you. Good question. Thank you. Yes.
Comment on this. I think this our intellect, and as I said this before, and I'm probably repeating myself, is that as we grow up, I think if you see as a kid, right, even a little kid who has very little intellect, literally zero, but that kid enjoys, smiles, you know. And somehow God has made us so, like, we have little intellect, we have weak body, but emotions are still there. Even a child is born with emotion. If you see
right.
A child, he gets angry, he gets happy, he gets everything, right? Sad and everything. So where I'm going with this is that as we grow up, or when we develop intellect, we develop expectations, and we get attached with those expectations. When we go out in the world, when we expect ourselves, you know, we expect cars, we expect luxuries, we get attached to it. And when we don't have those, or we want more of those, that's where attachment and dissatisfaction comes in, right? But if you can live in the world, like Janak Maharaj lived probably, without growing that expectations, then
right.
Then probably that could be a part to depression. That's my understanding.
Right. Right. So
expectations
leads to attachment.
Mm-hmm.
That I expect something and I don't get it. Right. Thank you. That's a good point. Yeah, go ahead.
This thing about having an intense desire for liberation, intense desire for liberation. How do you know that that intense desire isn't coming from your own ego, you know, which would make it wrong? Mm-hmm. You know, and then another thing that I'm kind of playing around with and I can't figure out how it works in is, you know, like the grace of God. But the God is a non-doer. So how can he be both a non-doer and then say that the grace of God? And I'm also thinking about, you know, somewhere along the line when we talked about, you know, if you can pray for somebody and there's those prayers, you know, will be answered in a sense, and that will help people. But God is a non-doer. So...
Right. I think so. You have three questions.
I guess so.
Okay. So the first one was that the desire for liberation is coming from ego. See, the person is under the grip of ego. He's a prisoner of his ego, and he wants to free himself from the prison of the ego. So we are all prisoners of this ego, that I am this and I want this and I want that, like he said, desires and expect. So he wants freedom. So that is liberation, that I no longer want to be a prisoner of my ego, but I want to be free from the bondages of ego, the likes and dislikes and all that. I want to be free, and I want to be free from the cycle of birth and death. So his obviously his intention should be noble. He's not studying the truth so he can impress people, give talks and accumulate a big following and a lot of money. Then that same knowledge can become tamasic or rajasic. He's doing it for his own upliftment and then ultimately to uplift the world.
He has to be aware
that what is his goal, right? What is the goal? And if he's not aware, that's when he goes to the teacher to enlighten him. That's number one. Number two, God is a non-doer as Brahman. See, God as Brahman is non-doer. Brahman does not do anything. The Atman, the Self, the Consciousness. But then that same Brahman, when working through Maya, which is the Prakriti, which is the creative power of the Lord, assumes the role of Ishvara. Ishvara is the creator, sustainer, and destroyer of the universe. So the same Brahman functioning through Maya takes on the role of creator, sustainer, destroyer, Ishvara, which we call as Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh. And so that entity, which is Ishvara, which is the creator, is the one we pray to grant our prayers. Ultimately, all prayers are go to Brahman alone. Everything is Brahman. Actually, this whole universe is Brahman. But it is a play. It is just it is by Maya, Shakti. He has created this universe and he's created this apparent differences, apparent multitude of things and beings. Multiplicity is an illusion. The truth is there is only one. That is the truth. That's why the Upanishads say, Aham Brahmasmi, and Brahman alone is everywhere. Everything is Brahman. So you and I are nothing but Brahman. This table is Brahman. This book, everything is that Brahman. But it is our ignorance that we see the variety. So when I pray to God, I pray as Ishvara. So I am not Ishvara. I am not God. I am a limited human being. But the Ishvara, the creator, sustainer, destroyer, is omniscient, omnipotent. You know, he's all-knowing, all-pervading. All Brahman is all-pervading. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. Sarva-shaktiman. I am Alpa-shaktiman. I am of limited power. So that is the difference. And so that same consciousness functioning as Ishvara creates. Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
So, not majority of us don't have gurus that we can follow. So that's why we have the Bhagavad Gita as a guide.
Right.
And you say.
No, I'm just.
Canada, yes, of course. Definitely. But. Is it important to have a guru and to follow gurus?
I think so. I think without just reading the book is not enough. That's why we have gurus that come every month. Like this past week, we had wonderful teacher, Swami Ramakrishna Nanji. Every month, we have some acharya. Before that, we had Padmajaji. She's a householder like us. You know, she's a computer engineer, has a family. But such an evolved soul. Her teachings were so wonderful. So take advantage of these teachers that come and meet with them and sit with them. And when you can serve them bhiksha. So bhiksha, don't just drop off the dinner and go, but sit with them and ask them questions. Maybe if you have an opportunity to drop them, if they need to be dropped or picked up, tell Neeru, I would like to drop this Swamiji, pick him up. And then when those 2 hours, you can ask him questions. That's what actually I did with Swami Ramakrishna Nandaji when we were driving. He was coming to our house for breakfast. 20 minutes, whatever questions I had asked. And then, of course, Gurudev is our ultimate guru. But there are so many acharyas who come. So take advantage of that opportunity and learn from them. And then have this mental attitude. Without bina guru, gyan nahi milta. You will not get knowledge without a guru. So again, this Bhagavad Gita you have has been written by Gurudev. So, you know, you see that as a manifestation of the Guru. And then, you know, through groups like these, we can solve our doubts. Yeah, but the book is your Guru. And then again, book was written by Gurudev. So that's how. So you consider him as present in the book. And then it's not easy, like karma and akarma. So when these Mahatmas come, even, you know, we all ask. I try every time I meet them. Try to ask questions because they know a lot more than us.
Because it's not always easy to comprehend.
Yes, yes. But if you ever have any questions, please feel free. I'll try. If I can answer, I'll answer. Or at least anybody else in the class might be able to. Pankaj knows a lot. He reads. He can definitely answer. Anything else? So next week is Diwali, so there won't be a Bhagavad Gita class. We'll do the Lakshmi Puja, and then we'll have a couple of people will talk on significance of Diwali and about Gurudev and all. So, but we'll have a puja and we'll have a nice lunch. It will be a good lunch. So please come and attend the puja because Diwali is a special occasion for us all. So we are celebrating. So the Bhagavad Gita class will be in 2 weeks. And we have these CDs. We had Swami Ramakrishna Nanji, very humorous, very funny, but at the same time, very clear understanding, very clear knowledge. When you talk to him, you understand how clear he is. So he has this CD called How to Be Successful in Life. There are very nice stories which you can tell your children even. Beautiful stories. And he even told how to tell the story, not only the story, but with how to tell the story. So these CDs, if you would like, Tony has recorded and made them. So they are available. It's an MP3. So there, if you would like to buy them, please contact me or you can get them from the office later on. So we'll end and see you in 2 weeks. So next week we'll have Lakshmi Puja. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve santu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kasche dukha bhag bhave. Om shanti shanti shanti, hari om shri gurubhyo namah.